Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Luke chapter 10, and we'll read from verse 17 to 21. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. 21. And in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I want you to see how Jesus prays, you know, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Father, we ask this morning that you bless us and let your word come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. That your children will be truly blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Please welcome someone on your left and on your right to God's presence as you take your seats. All right, so we are starting a new series on spiritual authority, and I don't know how long we are going to do this, but I want us to follow through as much as we can. So whether you are in the corporate space or business space, or you are called to ministry, I want you to know that you can completely change your life if you follow the principles that are stated in God's word. One of the challenges we have is that a lot of us are romantically involved with the word of God, but we are not spiritually involved. So when we find a particular truth or we study something in the scriptures, our natural tendency is to become emotionally or romantically fixated on those things. But spiritual things are not emotionally transferred. Soulish things can be Okay. That's I'm going into another area now, but soulish things. Let me explain what I mean. Please pay attention. I'm about to say something. If Anna too, if you start praying with Ayomide for 1 month, 30 days, and you are meeting every day in church, maybe you are trusting God for a job, and both of you agree to come to church every day, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. in the afternoon to pray. So is the youth president, and it's his job to support you with prayers. Now, at the end of the 30th day, you guys may be planning a wedding. Not by chance, but there's a soulish transfer. So that's why I said what I said. Huh? Don't pray with any brother you don't plan to get married to. It's an advice. But you may not find this one in any Bible school. So it's my job to tell you. Except the brother is your biological brother. Or someone that is as old enough as your father. Even though Ojukwu married Bianca, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm just saying that there's a very tiny bridge between the soul and spirit. That's why you find that you can have affection for your pastor even though you are not married to him. And you may be confused because there's a very thin line between spirit and soul. But today I'm not here for the soul. I'm here for spiritual authority. So, but I don't know who needs this information, but to whom it may concern. The first item I want to draw your attention to is that in verse 21, Jesus said that he was thanking God that God did not reveal these things to the wise and prudent. And I want you to please understand that the wise man is a type of man that is celebrated in the scriptures. A wise man, according to scriptures, is very rare. When you read the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms, if you want to be wise, you should read those books. And I was sharing with Pastor Tokwe. We had a Bible study here yesterday with Pastor David and Pastor Tokwe. And I think that was for like 3.5 hours. And I was saying to them that the Bible is divided into 4 categories of books, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if you know this, it helps you appreciate how to approach the Bible. Number one, we have the book of the law. The first 5 books in the Bible. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Which one now? Deuteronomy, yeah. So we have the book of the law. We have the historical books. Kings and all of that. Then we have the books of wisdom, like Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Then we have the prophets. So that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we also have 4. We have the Gospels. We have the historical books. Right? Then we have the historical books in the New Testament is the book of Acts. Because it tells us about what the apostles did. So we have the Gospels, we have the Acts of the Apostles, which are the historical books. Then we have the Epistles. Then we have the book of Revelation, 4 books. 4 on this side, 4 on that side. So those are the gateways. When approaching the scriptures, you can tell what to do if you are looking for something. So if you are seeking for wisdom, you know the books to go to. If you are seeking for spiritual wisdom, you go to the Epistles. That's the gateway. The Epistles are letters written to the church, to the body of Christ. Paul wrote those letters. I think Peter wrote 1 or 2. We have Jude, we have a few others. So please pay attention. If you don't have to move around, don't. Are you with me so far? All right. But Jesus was thanking God that this dimension of power was not revealed to people who are perceived as wise. Which means that you may be wise according to the things of this earth, wise according to the matters of this world, but you may not have spiritual authority. Please understand that I am saying spiritual authority, not spiritual power. Do you know the difference? Who knows the difference? Okay, I will tell you. The emphasis, they are related, but the emphasis is on spiritual authority. And how I came to understand this is that sometimes I get visitations once in a while, here and there. I get visitations from people who are in the business world. And some of them, they are not doing badly. Like, I mean, they are doing bad. There are people that can help me. But they came to me asking for help. So I must behave like they need me. But me, on a good day, if I see them, I want to say, sir, can you help us? We want to buy land. But because they were the ones who came, I also have to, Paul said, I magnify my anointing. So I have to also elevate my calling and make it look like I'm a prophet from the wilderness. So they respect me. And I've seen many of them come, but they are destroyed. They are wasted on the inside. And I'm not just talking about people in Nigeria. I'm talking about people like in different countries. These are people that you would naturally want to aspire to, but they are calling you and they are flustered. They are feeling wasted. Some of them, very big men, you see them going on their knees. And it's like, why are you doing this? But it shows that where power here ends is where spiritual authority starts from. Do you hear what I said? I say where power ends, as it pertains to the things of the earth, is where spiritual authority comes from. When you are a businessman, when you are an influential person, you know. You don't argue. You never see a spiritual, you never see a person that is doing well in the business space that will tell you that there's nothing like power. They know. Even when they don't subscribe, they know that there are things beyond explanation. That you just know these things are there, but you can't explain it. That's why you want to go into the music space. music space, like you want to be a musician, I want you to look back. When I say look back, I'm talking about secular musicians and even spiritual, those who say they are Christian musicians. Can you tell me one Christian musician, let's say five, that have been singing for the last 25 years and are still singing? Like the way they used to sing then is the way they sing now. Maybe, do you have any name? Okay, forget that, I'm going to the secular space. You now realize that because the nature of sound is spiritual, your gift can only get you up to a point. Are you with me? If the root or the source of a thing is spiritual, your gift, your talent can only get you up to a point. After then, you will be required to serve altars. My brother, my biological brother, he called me and we were just talking. So he lives in Abuja. So if you see anybody anywhere claiming to be my brother, if he's not that person, it's a lie. And my dad is dead, so he's not here to confirm any information. And I'm not going to waste my money on DNA. If you don't look like me, smell like me, talk like me, you are not my brother. And in my family, we are a bit, on the funny side. So my brother called me, said, do you know this particular politician? I won't mention his name. He said the PA of this particular politician was around recently, so he came to see him, they are friends. And I said, what are you doing here? He said, so politician, someone who has been trying to be president is in town. So he's having a meeting with witch doctors in the hotel room. So he had to step out. You are only being childish when you think there is nothing like spiritual authority. Or when you as a Christian, who is a child of authority, has failed so far to demonstrate that you can wield authority. And you confuse church attendance, whatever it is you do, you may be loved by God, but you may be wiped out. Whether you become useful to God, whether God finds you as a candidate for power, has a lot to do with you. Are you with me? And it's not God's fault, too. There are so many things that are involved. So if this politician just felt that, I needed to have this meeting, and he invited someone, and they told him this is the requirement, then Jesus called you and said, behold, I give you authority. The word power there is the word authority. So I started by just telling you that most people who are wise after the things of this world or the matters of this earth, Jesus said this thing will not be revealed to them. This thing of power, this matter of power, Jesus said it will be kept away from them. And Jesus rejoiced. That means the heavens were happy that those who we look at and we envy and we aspire, when will I become MDCO? When will I become CFO? Those people we aspire and wish will be like them. Jesus said, this thing you are hearing has been kept from them. Which means even if they desire it, they will not get it. Because when somebody has become great after the things of this earth and you now add spiritual power to what he has, that man will destroy. Mercy will not be one of the constitutions that surround him. He will do whatever he likes at will. And that's why I asked you a question. Do you know anybody who has been singing or music minister for 25? You may remember one or two. You may not be able to pick 10. And that's why someone may be a fantastic secular musician. At some point, you just notice he begins to win. But they will be popular on Twitter. God's desire is that when he bestows on you authority, he expects that authority to grow. God doesn't want you to be at the same level of spiritual authority last year as you are this year. So there must be a level of what? Progress. And you should be able to tell when there is promotion. When you have spiritual promotion, you should be able to tell that God has elevated me. Are we still together? So Jesus said in verse 19, he said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Now, I want you to consider the world. Unfortunately, I can't project. I have my concordance here on my MacBook, but I can't project it. If not, I would have been showing you the Greek words that were used here, so that you don't think I'm just manufacturing. But here, the word is what we refer to as exousia. And I'm going to tell you what exousia is. Maybe if I start a new church, if I call it Exousia Assembly. Exousia. Or just call it Exousia. Check, go online and check. You'll know what exousia is. Now, exousia is, number one, according to the original rendition, it means to have the sense of ability. The sense. S-E-N-S-E. The sense of ability. Exousia means that you look at something and you know you can handle it. You can do it. It's just like walking into a board meeting or an NPR or a strategic meeting for your team, and they put up an Excel or a formatted sheet on the board, and they say, oh, we need to do that. You can, like, I can do this. Just put in format, you know, put in the command, and you can format the whole Excel. Is you have a sense. You might not even have done it. Oh. It's the sense in which you come into your house and you see or you travel home and you see that there's a particular problem going on there. You didn't know that you were going to meet with any child. You just got to and you met that, oh, your mom is ill or someone is sick. And you immediately know, this is beyond, this is below me. I can handle this. It's having a sense of, that sense, you can't manufacture it if you don't have exousia. Are you with me? It's a sense of, I have capacity over this matter. When God gives you exousia, you will experience that thing from time to time. It's like saying, it's just like David saying, I have killed the bear and what? The lion. And even this one, this uncircumcised Philistine, will be as one of these. It's a sense of ability, a divine recognition of the grace and your authority level, which God has given you. You know it. So when you step into a particular terrain and someone says, oh, we are, you say, ah, this one is not my level. Because you know. You are not trying to prove. You say, let me call my pastor. Let me call one sister. You know that, this one. I have prayed for migraine. I've prayed for over people with headaches. This one is, this one is mental. No, it's not my area. Then you call someone that you know. It's not that God cannot use you to heal that person. But I'm talking about what? The sense of what? The sense of what? You know that, this one, I can handle it. This one, call Sister Busayo. Someone sang a beautiful song on Instagram. And that's my favorite song on Instagram. I sing it when I say, if you have problem, call God. If you have business, so that's my best song. On Instagram, all the people I did business for, they are still owing. But so maybe I will revise that song. So there's a sense of ability. Another word that describes exousia is capacity. Another word is competency. For those of you in the business and corporate space, exousia can manifest as competency. You know, we were talking to Brapat yesterday, Pastor. And he was talking about some of the things he was able to teach himself. What I didn't tell him, because I didn't want him to hear the message to the message of today, yesterday, is that if you have ever gone to God and you prayed and said, Lord, this is my job. I'm struggling. Or there's something that has been introduced in your office. And you know, everyone expects you to be able to deliver. But you know this thing is beyond you. And you went to God in prayer. And all of a sudden, you started developing in that area. I want you to know that God's response to your prayer was exousia. Because some people will go about saying, I'm not anointed like others. Excuse me, competency. Spiritual. There's such a thing as spiritual competency. It is called exousia. The ability to look at something and no matter how mysterious it is, you break it down. The person you are looking at, I know my anointing. If it's too complicated, please have a nice day. I like simple things. I like simple things. I believe there's beauty in simplicity. Don't kid me. I'm not the person who sat down and created this formula wanted to give some of us migraine, and I refuse to have migraine. A plus A, 2A. The moment you now go and say S square, if X square is this, and then if this one is that one, and this one is this one, and this one, find Y. You've been talking about X and Z. Now you want me to find, where is why in this question? Exactly. So, well, some people, when they say, wow, you see that in the exam, they are smiling. I say, wicked people, not even wicked, wicked. I want you to know there is such a thing as spiritual competency. God can empower you, especially if you are currently handling a project or there's something, conversation going on in your office. God can bless you with spiritual competence such that there's going to be a mix of your own natural brilliance with the anointing. But people will not fall under the anointing when you are doing your thing. Under competence, people don't fall. In church, we fall under anointing. But in that boardroom, people are like, you know, in Daniel, it manifested in a particular way. He said he was able to dissolve doubt. That means the thing may be complicated until Daniel comes in. And I say, no, this is a way. Do you know that there's an anointing for making things simple? Because somebody else may come and preach the same thing I'm preaching, and you're like, that's what you'll be saying to the end of the message. But you don't understand what the man is saying. Say, you see them there. It's as if it's very deep, eh? Koye, koye. You don't understand. You never understand. Yeah. So you have to know where your unction is. And if you're in the business world or in the corporate space, you must trust God for the grace to dissolve doubt. That means whatever seems to be confusing or naughty, you know, K-N-O-T-T-Y, right? Naughty, difficult, confusing, complex. When you get there, exousia must manifest, such that people say, oh, is that what you are saying? Oh, okay, we understand. Let's go ahead. Which means, even when the government is in problem, a Joseph can come out with a clear plan. Oh, come on, say amen. We need Joseph's people with clear plan. Joseph was not confused about what was going on. He had spiritual understanding and he had a clear plan, an economic plan. So I don't want you to feel left out and think that we are talking to pastors today. No, this exousia has a lot to do with spiritual competencies. I want you to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the grace to dissolve doubt. I receive the grace to be spiritually competent in the name of Jesus. The word exousia also refers to mastery. Another word that I like, introduced, I just mentioned your name, finish, Brapat. Yeah, you listen to the message. So, is the word, and I'm reading from my concordance. Exousia is also interpreted as superhuman. Superhuman. That means you have access to resources, spiritual resources that are above the human level. And you see, the first law for embracing and manifesting spiritual things is, number one, knowledge. Number two, desire. This is the difference. People will hear something like this and then they go home and shout hallelujah. Don't shout hallelujah. You have heard the information. Now it must become revelation and you must desire it. I remember when I first became a Christian, one of the things that actually enticed me to Christianity was power. So I used to attend a particular church then, and it seemed that they were gatekeeping power. You know what I mean by gatekeeping? Only some people among us have access to access this power. So forget about that it's a church of God or church of Satan, but they were, let's just say church, they were gatekeeping. That is like you being in the office in a particular organization or in a particular business. Right now in Ghana, there's something going on there. I hope you're aware. They're asking Nigerians to leave because of our very dangerous business structures. Nigerians come into the space, they come in quietly and they take over so they say Nigerians should go, that we have taken up all the jobs, businesses. Meanwhile, I was just planning to go and join them. They say we should not come again. So I stay in my house. And I love Ghanaians, but they should calm down. Amen. If someone is better than you, learn from the person. Stop arguing with your keypad. So what happened was, there was a particular day we were in a particular service. The service was over. All of a sudden, there was a young girl, like my age grade, she just started prophesying. Service was over. I have always been fascinated with, how can a mortal man hear an invisible God? How can a man with restrained abilities, how can his eyes be open and he sees what other men are unable to see? I want to be able to experience this. But you know, I always felt those things were beyond me. Nobody was doing anything with this girl. I just happened to be close. And I saw people come around her immediately and surround her. She didn't try to prophesy. She just started prophesying. The moment she broke through the gate of power without invitation, those who had the power came around her, shielded her, and they took her immediately into a particular section where only those who were called as prophets were allowed to go into. So they separated two of us. So you know what I did? There was a particular section of the church that was earmarked. If you have any problem, just go there and pray. It was not in the main church, but it was somewhere in the premises. It was marked. So I went to that place. Since nobody is looking in my direction, I went to that place and I knelt down. And I remember my prayer. I was a boy. I said, God, I want to be like this. It was, you know why I appreciated what was happening to that lady, good or bad, was that I could see that, it happened spontaneously. It's not like, oh, she was trying to force anything. I'm not sure she knew something was going to happen to her. The Spirit of God, in quote, just took her over. So I like the idea of the Holy Spirit taking something over, because there is no gimmick around it. It's just the Spirit driving you in a particular. So I went on my knees. I knelt in on that ground. I said, God, I said, wherever you are, I would like to be able to hear your voice. I would like to be able to see things spiritual. I would like to be spiritually useful. Then I shook my body. I shook it again. But nothing happened. I said, well, maybe today is not the day, but I tried. Fast forward to shortly after then. So I got into Command Secondary School and I became a Christian. I became a Christian. In those days, our fellowship was on Friday. So I used to give my life to Christ on Fridays. But it did not work. So I changed. I said, okay, maybe Sunday. So I tried Sunday. It still did not work. So I eventually got born again on a Thursday. Wed next day. That's Thursday. Eh? Wednesday. Wed next day. So, Thursday. You get the gist, eh? So I got hooked to Jesus on a Thursday. So Thursday is very special. So if something happens to you, you won't forget that day. There are things that happen to you, you can't forget. I don't remember people's faces until I've seen you several times, but I don't forget some events. So, but I got born again in a prayer meeting. And I remembered I went into a particular prayer meeting, into a particular fellowship, and spontaneously I just opened my mouth and I started prophesying. There is something I want you to know. You might be the one holding yourself back because you have heard these things, but you have not desired them long enough. God will watch your desire threshold and it will be quiet. It will be silent until it meets a particular level. It's just like going into the labor room until you dilate to a particular level. Nobody takes you serious. You must watch your desire. Your desire, the strength of your desire is what determines that even if you slip and fall now, how quickly you can get back on your feet has a lot to do with your desire. If there was nothing about you that found God way back, if there was nothing about you way back that went deep into the heart of God, the day you stumble and sin, water go carry you go. But if you sin, for instance, you just realize, one of the things that happen, especially when you cross a threshold in sin, is that you suddenly feel spiritually empty. You can't reach and feel the power. You can't feel it in your spirit. And then you know that if any witch walks in front of you, don't fight. You are not safe. Don't fight. Just go. Greet everybody. Be respectful. There's no power. You have been disconnected. But if you may not know the value of your sin, because you don't even know the level of power that is in you. So you are not aware you've been disconnected. And you don't know the risk upon which you are standing. That demons who could not touch you, all of a sudden we receive a radio signal, the door is open, go for him. That's why many of you will know, you will notice that anytime your spiritual level is low, you start having oppressive dreams. Who can relate? You start having dreams. I had one dream some time ago. I don't know what to say. I think I told you yesterday. I said I was washing my pair of jeans. I wanted to wash that pair of jeans. So, like, I thought about it. Then I slept. And I saw myself washing. And I washed. And I washed. And I washed. And I washed. There's a washing machine. I washed. And after washing, I was about to wake up and answer. But the legs are still dirty. So I must wash it again. By the time I open my eyes, I say, okay, it's official. Your level is, your battery is very low. Washing jeans. I did not see it as jeans. I saw it as an unnecessary activity. Come on, are you with me? So your desire is very important. Now, let's move on very quickly because this is a series. And my goal is for you to be able to find your level at any particular point. Now, before we go deeper, let me drop this on you. Authority differs from power in a few senses. The word authority is what delegated. It suggests that power is being delegated. So the power itself is not with you. So, please, are you with me? The power itself is not as though originates with you. You are kept in a particular office. Every office has an authority structure. You'll get it. Just stay with me. Authority is different from power because authority functions within a structure. There's an organogram. So when you are the manager of the business or of an organization or of a department, if you try to bypass your line manager and you go straight to the MD, they will suspect something is wrong. So they will take you, go back. When I was in Oshoni Bank, they restricted our email access. If I try to send an email to CC Libru, it will bounce back and I'll get a query. IT will call me and say, what is the problem? Are you all right? Is everything fine? I know the world has changed, but way back, you don't clog her email. Do you understand? She's busy. She needs to look at the whole bank. She needs to be able to see emails that have to deal with the whole bank. Don't send emails saying you are unhappy. You have HR or line manager. Don't say, madam, something's happening. People are stealing my Oga, go. How much will they steal? Go to the internal control and auditors. Go and shout there. You can't be dear ma. Who is dear ma here? Well, she's looking at exact sheets that have to do with northwest, northeast, southwest. She's looking at the business in France. She's like, I don't send email here. We are all in the same Oceanic Bank. But I have no protocol. I have no right to relate directly with her, even though she's my mother. May God bless her. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It's the same thing spiritually. Authority is within a territory. Authority operates within a ministry. Authority operates and is valid within a structure. So if the Lord says you are the prince of Persia, even angels must recognize you. Are you with me? A lot of people cannot operate in authority because they are Christians, but they are not in the service of Jesus. For you to be bestowed authority, you must be a servant of God in any capacity. So even if you are the chairman of textile sellers at Aswani or wherever, you are the chairman that was elected for 3-year tenure. If you are a child of God and you see that role as a divine mandate, authority will be given to you to execute priestly functions within that space. But if you see yourself as simply a tither, like I make my money, I pay tithe, glory be to God, you'll be all right, too. But the authority you need to execute your control, both spiritually and physically, one of it will be missing, which is the spiritual aspect. Please understand what I'm saying. If you are in any office and you have been there for a while, maybe you are even promoted recently, I want you to know that just the way you are being promoted physically or in the office, God also expects spiritual promotion. So what is spiritual authority? Spiritual authority is the divine right, delegated power, and legal jurisdiction given by God to operate, govern, command, and enforce his will on it. Shall I say it one more time? Spiritual authority is the divine right, emphasis on divine, the divine right, delegated power, and legal jurisdiction. Look at those three areas. Legal jurisdiction that God gives to you to operate, to govern, and command. Not just command, enforce. That means where there is disobedience, you must enforce. Enforce his will on earth. What this suggests is that mankind, this earth, will naturally resist God because the land is cursed. Are you with me? If someone came to this family and for 50 years offered blood sacrifices and worshiped deities, that land, by virtue of the sacrifices that have been offered there, now, or that family now belongs to Satan. I went to Benin City to preach many years ago, and the pastor brought a young girl. That girl, in my estimation, could not have been older than 14. And the pastor said I should pray for her, that he has tried to pray for her, but she was not free. You see that thing I said about authority? Huh? The pastor tried to pray for her, but she was not free. When I saw it, it didn't even sound like a problem. Because at that particular time, the Lord made it very clear to me that anything I'm praying about, if the matter was caused by a spirit, I had power to cast it out. But he said not all medical cases you'll be able to handle. He told me then, and I want to believe I've grown since then. But this was like, I just left university. So when the pastor told me about this particular lady, and I said, what's peculiar? Why are you unable to release this lady from the oppression? The pastor said, she lives in her great-grandmother's house. Her parents are dead. Her grandmother's house. And her parents are dead. But the grandmother is a priestess. And she worships 300 deities. And those deities have kept her alive. And every morning she's grooming this young girl. She has not even asked the girl to follow her to the shrine. He's simply presenting the girl ahead to the deities. So every morning when you say, "Oh, we thank you for this morning. Oh, we are ready to be free." You're a faithful God. Father, as we go with us. The angel comes close to you. He looks at your eyes. He's not sure if you're awake or asleep. Is he sleeping? Is he awake? This guy's eyes. It's always... The way some people look at me, they don't know if my eyes are open. The angel, it's like, we don't know what's wrong with this, but he's the man of God. Amen. The woman will wake up before the girl, offering, sacrificing. She had a room where the 300 deities were placed. And she will pour oil and offer sacrifices and mention the guest name and say, "I have given her to you, protect her. When I'm finally gone, she will be here." But the girl used to sneak and come to church. So while the pastor was saying, "In Jesus' name," it was not enough. There was somebody every day. I am telling you about how to raise altars. You cannot raise altars casually. Now, if the girl did not even know what the grandmother did, maybe she was living in Lagos with her uncle, but the grandmother was in the village, in Benin City, doing what she was doing. Does he exonerate the girl? If a pastor comes here now and says, "Hey, the Lord says this is happening," the girl will say no. Because she doesn't know, right? She doesn't know. But this is spiritual data, information. It's on the spiritual iCloud. The girl will never know. She will just wake up one day and find herself back at the shrine. I want to go. She will just feel like going to greet grandma. And when she comes, grandma will say, "Hey, today is the day the spirits have brought you. Eat this thing." They will not beg for your permission. They will just say, "Eat this thing. My daughter," she will dance for you. Because Satan's most powerful strategy is deception. He will never tell you his real intention. He will just put something in front of you and say, "Eat pounded yam. Eat this. Hey, you are looking like your mother now. My daughter. Hope you will stay with me. Hope you are not going back to Lagos. Hey, you are happy that someone loves you." Then you wake up the next morning with powers. So yeah, follow me to the shrine. That thing you ate, she will be there. You ate, you swallowed it. Once you eat it, she's happy. The deed is done. Her powers has been transferred. Even if she dies, those deities will teach you. They will look for you and teach you. This is the way of this cross. Not our own cross. The way of their cross. So there are families that are given to worship of certain deities. And when people turn away, they strike. Why? Because covenants were entered into. That's why I told you that authority is what? Is delegated, and it works in, is territorial, is territory based. Such that, and that's why you find that what I may be able to do for you as your pastor is possible another pastor will not be able to do it, because spiritually he is not recognized as your pastor. There are certain things that, you need to pay your school fees. No matter how much your neighbor loves you, he won't pay it for you. You have to go to your dad, right? He can tell, "I like you, you are very smart, you are not like the children in this community," but he will not pay your school fees. If he sees you crying, he will not ask you, "Why are you crying?" That's your mother's job. That's your father's job. The same thing spiritually. A lot of things are replicated black and white. That's why when you find that Jesus wanted to speak to the churches in the book of Revelation, he didn't talk to the church directly. He spoke to their angel, to the pastor. Because the pastor is spiritually responsible for the spiritual state, health, and development of the local church. That's why you don't grow a church by bringing guest ministers. Oh, goodness. You don't grow a church by doing concerts. It is God that announces his work. So when God gives you spiritual authority, it is because he finds that you are now in a space that he can colonize. And he needs to have a human agent. There has to be somebody there that he can breathe upon. There was no need for authority. And God placed Adam on earth and said, be the governor here. There is no authority without context. If God has strategically placed you in a place, you can say, Jesus, I am here for you. Let me rise for you. You can say to Jesus. Because every time you prayed for your promotion, it was because of yourself. Every time you pray for breakthrough, it was because. I said, tell Jesus, from today, I am your handmaiden. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Behold the bond servant of the Lord. Then let Jesus determine, let Jesus be quiet and leave you in that position. Come on, are you here? Authority is rooted in God's sovereignty, which means you cannot lay claim to it. God must be the one to apportion a certain degree of authority to you. And authority is not hidden. In the spiritual realm, everybody is known. Our authority as believers is an extension of the ministry of Christ, which means there is nothing God will do through you that is not in his own plan. Please understand. Because some of us are praying, but we are praying about something for which there is no budget. Authority is not mere influence, but legal right. Now, stay with me. We need to wrap this up now. In 3 minutes, we'll continue in the second service. You see, when we get to a point in this series, we will start praying. We'll start praying. We are laying foundation now. There was someone who said in the scriptures, the one who I am and whose I am. Who was that? Huh? Paul. He said he belongs to God. That his entire existence is for God. That's someone who understands authority. Because when we speak about authority, you must not only understand the spiritual framework, you must understand the spiritual legal framework. That's why a lot of governors and ministers and presidents, they don't understand that when you are in power, it is not you people respect, it is the office. Then you hand over and you expect to still be invited. We will not invite you. We will not invite you again. You lost election, we will not invite you. Because the last time we invited, it was because you are the president. The last time it was because you are the governor. Don't worry, continue showing yourself. After 8 years, we will meet at Osho. It is the nature of human beings to respect power. Because they know that when a man has power, he is protected. So, whether you are a pastor, master, governor, governoress, please know that power is transient. Eh? It will not. And don't say, my father is a pastor, nobody knows you. Go and fight for your own scar and your rank. Eh? That one is not transferable. If you have very poor attitude, you will suffer. It's your name, regardless. So, there's a legal framework that establishes spiritual authority. And that's why I said here that authority is not mere influence. It's not like when you go for business class and they now say leadership is influence. Okay, I'm talking about authority. Because you may be manipulating us and we think you are a leader. So it's not mere influence. Authority is not mere influence, but legal right to act on behalf of heaven. Are you with me? Authority is what? The legal right to act on behalf of heaven. So that when they ask, by whose authority? Because they will ask. It's just a matter. If they have not challenged you, you will soon get there. Where you will stretch your hands and the demon will refuse to go. To act on behalf of heaven. In the spiritual realm, it is the believer acting in the name and power of Jesus Christ. In the spiritual realm, it is the believer acting in the power and in the name of Jesus Christ. In the spiritual realm, authority refers to a believer who is acting. Is acting in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. So there are legal angles to this matter. Number one, authority is granted by a higher power, which means you must be considered to be useful, to be faithful, to be trustworthy for God to bestow a measure of authority. You cannot cry your way. You cannot cry your way into authority. The heavens must look at you and say, okay, we can give her this measure of authority. And what that also means is that you can also grow. You can be spiritually promoted if you do the right thing. Number two, I'm talking about legal angles now. It means that whenever you begin to operate in a type of anointing and you find that there's something new God is giving to you, is bestowing upon you, it means that you have now become God's legal agent in that territory. Which means if something happens in that area, you are one of the people that will be beckoned upon. And if you cannot account, even your assets can be withdrawn. That's what happens. That's why I asked you at the beginning of this message, give me 10 music ministers that were singing 25 years ago, 20 years ago, and they are still there. Now, they look for other things to do at some point. It takes a lot of spiritual stamina to do only one thing for 25 years. But at some point, the news around is that the music industry is always looking for younger people. So at some point, you want they ask you to respect yourself and allow the young to grow. But that's not God's design. That's not God's design. There were people in the Psalms that were referred to as the sons of, is it Asaph or something? Some of these guys who wrote the book, is it Asaph? Asaph, yeah. So they were, the music was their thing. And they stayed there. Not every psalm in the book of Psalms was written by David. Number three, and let's try and round up here. We'll take it up in the second service. Without authority, even power is illegal. I repeat, without authority, even power is illegal. Much like an officer who has strength without a badge. I don't know if I've lost you. So when the policeman comes to your house, the authority, let's say he's dressed in mufti. You can, if I even suspect that you're a real policeman, I will first of all slap you because you are wearing mufti. Then when you now say you attacked a law, I said, I did not know. Say it's treasonable felony. I said, you cannot, you look like a criminal. That's why I attack you. Because the authority of a police officer is not in what he said. It's in his ID and the warrant that he brings to my house. That's why I said, without authority, the warrant of arrest, even power becomes illegal. That means even authority must operate within a structure. I am your pastor, but it does not give me the right. There are lines I should not cross. The same way you too must have lines you cannot cross. It's a two-way street. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, and let's round up here. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So what the power, the dominion that was given to man was delegated to him. It was not his own. Jesus had both power and authority. But the emphasis of this teaching is on authority. Because if you are not faithful with little, no one will commit to you unrighteous mammon. The scripture that we started from in Luke chapter 10 verse 19. Jesus said, I give unto you authority. Look at what he gave authority over. Serpents. Oh no. No time. I wanted to say something about. Okay. Look at the nature of these two animals. When we come back, I will try to address this. Because the serpents and the scorpions represent 90% of all the forces and the powers that we contend with your authority. What I said, and I want you to note it. I said, Jesus was specific when he referred to snakes and scorpions. Because if you understand these two animals, this serpent and scorpion represent most of the attacks that you will face in your assignment. That we contend. And both of them have their strength in their tongue. Let us pray. I want you to ask for revelation this morning. Ask for divine revelation. Ask that the hand of God will rest upon you. Ask that the hand of God will rest upon you. For revelation, for revelation. We need to see more than we are seeing right now. We need to know more than we are. There is always a higher level in God. I want you to pray right now and ask that the Spirit of God will rest upon you, bringing upon you revelation. The hand of God resting upon me, bringing me into higher revelations. The hand of God resting upon me, bringing me into higher revelations. I want you to pray like a prayer warrior. I want you to pray like a prayer warrior. Ask that the hand of God will rest upon you, bringing deeper revelations. Because you cannot enter into anything spiritually until you have seen it. You cannot come into anything spiritually until you see. Pray for yourself now. Pray for yourself now in the name of Jesus.